This is the NC State Tripartisan Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now here's your host for the NC State Tripartisan Podcast from InsidePacSports.com, James Henderson.
Welcome back to the Tripartisan NC State Podcast, and we have a lot to talk about today, especially NC State basketball with the Wolfpack getting back on track Wednesday night with a big home win over Miami, a much-needed win for the Wolfpack to bring their record to 12-5 overall, 3-3 in ACC play, and I did my column this week for the Tripartisan on NC State basketball, and specifically C.J. Bryce and his impact to the team now that he's back in the rotation. You know, Bryce returned for the Wolfpack's game against Miami. His numbers were not gaudy. He didn't put up huge numbers, but just having him back gives so much more flexibility to NC State and how they want to play. And first of all, I think the impact you have with him is you really, you get a guy who can be a, in my opinion, a one-on-one scorer for you. I mean, that's what he does very well. And when you're going through a scoring drought as a team, there's nothing more valuable than having a player that you can get the ball to and just say, go get us a basket. And I think for State, that guy this year has been Bryce up until that four-game stretch where he didn't play. And if you remember, during that stretch, I thought State struggled at times with scoring droughts and ending scoring or ending scoring spurts by the opposition, big scoring runs. I mean, just didn't have a guy that could go out and get a basket for you. I mean, he's a guy who, in my opinion, is a drought stopper for your offense and a run-ender for the opposition. I mean, he can just go out and get a bucket. He did it twice in the Miami game in the second half when I felt like Miami was trying to make a run to get back in the game. Bryce went out there and hit a mid-range jump shot to get NC State back kind of in the flow. He also gives you another, I think, quality playmaker. You know, when you look at NC State recently, they've had to rely a lot on Markel Johnson for playmaking, and I think it's taken a toll on him as a player. I mean, you see him, I think he's kind of worn down a little bit. Doesn't really have the same burst he's had. And so getting Bryce back into rotation gives you another guy you can run offense through with the ball in his hands. Against Miami, Bryce had 5 assists in that game, which I think led the team. So clearly he's comfortable creating for other players. We've already talked about he's good for creating for himself, but I think this can help Johnson going forward because now you can slide Johnson off the ball some offensively. He can catch a rest. You can get him more minutes on the bench, just rest. You can get him working on his or getting his shot off as a catch and shoot player. I still think that's his best attribute as a shooter is shooting off the catch. And when you're the primary ball handler, it's kind of hard to do that. So Bryce helps you in that regard. I think he's also a factor defensively. You know, that's another area where in my column I'm going to talk about it. I mean, at 6'5", he can defend multiple positions for NC State. He can switch. He can play 1-4 within their offense, but also defend 1-4. He's a guy who I think really helps NC State in terms of their pressures because now – they go back to having 4 guards in the rotation and not just 3. And so you saw against Miami, NC State was able to play with more pressure defensively. And I thought that they used that to really, I think, speed Miami up and kind of disrupt their offense at times. And just prior with Bryce out, State's just not been deep enough to run the amount of pressures that Kevin Keats would like to run. You know, I think the biggest impact, though, for him will be what he adds to NC State's bench. And I don't mean necessarily him. I mean, he may start, he may come off the bench, I don't know. But getting him back in the rotation pushes another player to the bench. And State has one of the strongest benches in the ACC for sure. Last year they led the ACC in bench scoring. They've been doing the same thing this year in terms of bench scoring. They're outscoring their opponents by almost 10 points a game. And you saw it against Miami. NC State outscored Miami in that game 26-8. And a lot of that was because of Bryce, Jericho Helms coming off the bench, Pat Andre. But yeah, they brought off the bench 3 guys who can go out and give you 15 on a given night. And not a lot of teams can say that. So I think C.J. Bryce adds a lot. I mean, that's kind of what you're getting with this takeaway. That's what my column is going to be about when you check it out at the Tripartisan at WRLSportsFan.com. And how I think having him back and healthy makes NC State a deeper team and a dangerous team moving forward in the ACC. And when you look at what State has left coming up, you know, it's going to get tough here after this next home game against Clemson. You know, NC State hosts Clemson on Saturday at 2 p.m. Then they go up. Then they play Monday night at Virginia and then the following Saturday at Georgia Tech before coming back home the following week and taking on North Carolina and Louisville at home. So a really tough 4-game stretch coming up. And then after those 4 games, you've got 3 straight road games at Miami, at Syracuse, at Boston College. So five of NC State's next seven games on the are on the road after the Clemson game. That Clemson game's big. I mean, if you're State, you got to get that one. You got to get to 4-3 in league play and kind of take it from there going forward, because this next, I think this next seven game stretch is really, well, eight games if you count Clemson. I think this stretch is really going to decide NC State's season, because you've got three home games, five road games, and then you end the stretch with four out of six at home. But you need to be in a position then to make those wins count. And those aren't even easy games. I mean, you've got Duke at home, Florida State at home. You also got a road game at North Carolina, a road game at Duke. So the schedule picks up for NC State going forward. So I think it's really important for them to get that win against Clemson. Another factor I wanted to talk about for the Miami game is I thought DJ Funderburk was outstanding for NC State. You know, he's a guy who got a start in that game for NC State, was able to come off the bench previously to that and be a major spark plug. But against Miami, he was just, I thought, the difference maker. I mean, his effort was there. I mean, he was just a front court mismatch for Miami. They didn't really have an answer for him. 19 points, 8 rebounds, got to the free throw line 11 times, played 32 minutes, which was second most on the team behind Markel Johnson. So I still think Funderburk's a player who's developing into a key weapon for NC State. I mean, he's a guy that a lot of teams don't have. A lot of teams don't have a front court guy, a front court big that you can run offense for pretty much on all three levels. I mean, you can play him as a stretch four where he can hit threes for you. You can have him in the pick and pop game. You can have him in the pick and roll game. You can post him up. You can throw it to him on the mid post and let him isolate. He can score in transition. He can catch on the wing and drive and score. I mean, he's just a very talented offensive player. And I think he really stresses out defenses with what he's capable of doing. And that's why I believe for NC State's sake, he's a guy that you're going to look to see him continue to get involved more and more. He got the start against Miami. I think he played well enough to continue to start. And we'll see how long they stay with this two big lineup, or maybe they move Manny Bates to the bench and start bringing him off the bench. You know, if I had a concern for NC State right now, I think they need to try and get more production out of Braxton Beverly. And he's not really playing well. He's not shooting the basketball well. He was just 2 of 8 from 3 in this game. Coming into the Miami game, he was 6 of 26 in his last 6 games. So he hadn't been shooting the basketball well. He looks banged up. You know, I know back in December, I think it was, he got injured. Looked like he suffered a back injury, or I'm pretty sure Keith mentioned he suffered a back injury. And he doesn't look like he's fully recovered from that. And you can tell when he goes to the sidelines during games, he doesn't see it. He stands up. He's kind of stretching. And I'm wondering if that's hampering him, because he's a guy who, with the looks he's getting, he should be shooting a better percentage right now. And I think that getting Bryce back will help, because you're able to restrict Beverly's minutes a little more. And I think prior to the Bryce injury, Beverly was around 24, 25 minutes a night. That got bumped up to about 30 a night with Bryce out. And so maybe getting him back down to a lower minutes number will enable him to be more efficient or effective as a player. And that's a concern, because, you know, he's really, NC State really wants him for his 3-point shooting. And if he's not providing that shooting, you know, it's going to be a problem. Let's talk a little NC State football. You know, some big news going on right now with a couple of transfers out of the NC State program. The first happened this week. Nick McLeod left out, a cornerback, senior cornerback who redshirted last season. He was expected to return as a senior and start this year for NC State, but McLeod chose to put his name in the transfer portal. I don't really think that's a surprise. I think McLeod is a guy who sees competition now at that position. I mean, NC State's bringing back essentially 6 guys who played snaps at corner last year. They're bringing in 3 freshmen capable of playing. And I think it's going to be a competition. So while McLeod was expected to start, it wasn't a given. And I think he's looking to spend his final year of eligibility in a different situation. And I'll be interested to see where he ends up. He only played in 2 games this past year for NC State. He played in the opener against East Carolina where he was injured, and then he returned for the home game against Clemson and then set out the rest of the year at that point. And I think that a lot of that was his decision to sit it out. You know, he had 2 more games he could have played. He chose not to play, and now you're going to see McLeod transfer out of the program. Another one, which I think is a bigger transfer, is Jeffrey Gunner, the defensive end, looking to leave the football program. I'm surprised by this one to a degree, because you rarely see a player come in, sit a year, and then still choose to transfer out. But I had heard during the course of the season that Gunner was a player who wasn't too thrilled about NC State, running a three down front. You know, he's a prototypical strong defensive end. He's more of a four down front guy. So I think that played a role in his decision. I'm not sure where he's going to end up. I'd imagine he's going to look for a team that's going to play a four down front defense. So that's going to be something to see going forward. And I think this is a big loss. I mean, this is a guy NC State raved about all fall, who was impactful on their spring, on their who was impactful for their scout team during the season. And so it's going to be interesting to see what he does and how NC State looks to replace him, because I think there were some heavy or some lofty expectations for Gunter this year, knowing the Wolfpack had to replace Larrell Murchison at one of those defensive end positions this past season. Going over to women's basketball, I'm actually taping this before the women's game tonight. I'm taping this Thursday afternoon before the women's game tonight against Florida State. But if you look at where NC State women are at right now, I mean, 15-1 overall, 4-1 in ACC play. I mean, this game at home against Florida State's a big, big game. Florida State's a top 15 team. If State can find a way to win this game, they're going to have a chance to, you know, really, I think, put themselves in good position in ACC play. And then they'll come back on the court at home Sunday against Wake Forest, which is another winnable game for the Wolfpack. Last week they went on the road, played two road games, lost a tough one in Chapel Hill, their first loss of the season to the rival North Carolina, 66-60. Honestly, I watched that game and State just didn't play well. I mean, they did not play well. You know, they seemed lethargic, couldn't make shots in the second half. They really couldn't get their star player, Elisa Cunane, involved. I mean, she struggled to get quality looks. Credit North Carolina. I thought they did a really good job defensively. And if it wasn't for Ace Conan, I mean, I think that game would have been even more slighted towards North Carolina, because she was 6 of 9 for 3 in that game. But I thought NC State did what good teams do. They rebounded really, really well, put forth an outstanding effort. Probably their best game of the year, going to Notre Dame and beating the Irish 90-56. I mean, very few teams go to Notre Dame and beat that team or that program by 30. And I know Notre Dame's not having their typical year this year, but they still have talent. They still have a really good coach. And so I thought NC State answered a lot of questions by going on the road and putting together an effort like that against Notre Dame. So this Florida State game is going to be fun to watch. I think this is a game where if you're NC State, you got a chance to try and seize control in league play. And you've got a chance to measure yourself against one of the better teams in the ACC this year, because I think if you look at the ACC from afar, you'd probably say NC State and Florida State and Louisville are what a lot of people perceive to be the class of the ACC at this point. And so if you can go out and take care of business at home, and I think this is the only matchup of these two teams this year with it being at home, if you can go out and take care of business, I think you really put yourselves in a position to maybe – you know, I know we're still a ways away from deciding who's going to win the conference, but you put yourself in a position to win a conference title for the first time in a long, long time at NC State. All Wolfpack fans know it's been a long time since the football, basketball, women's basketball, or baseball programs have won an ACC title. And I think this year's women's basketball team has a really, really good shot at doing it. And the way they can do it is by picking up this win against Florida State. I mean, because like I've talked about it before, we've talked about women's basketball. I mean, State plays Florida State and Louisville just once this year, and they get them both at home. So if you can find a way to win both of those games, you got the tiebreaker over both of the other programs perceived to be, you know, the top teams in the league. And right now, NC State's 4-1. Georgia Tech's up there at 4-1. They're off to a really good start. Louisville's 5-0. And then you got Florida State at 4-2. So it's going to be interesting to see how NC State handles things with this Florida State game. I think it's a big game. If they can win that game, they'll keep themselves right there nipping at Louisville. And as I mentioned earlier, they get Louisville at home this year. So they'll have a tiebreaker advantage against Louisville if they need it, if they can win that game as well. So this Florida State game is big because FSU is perceived to be one of the powers expected to compete with NC State for an ACC title this year. All in all, though, I mean, a lot going on right now with NC State sports. Obviously, we got the basketball game this weekend coming up against Clemson at home. I'll have more next week. We're going to talk some football recruiting as NC State's junior day is this upcoming weekend. We're going to talk women's basketball again. We'll see what else happens with football. I mean, maybe there's an addition. Maybe you see NC State look to Maybe there's another guy who leaves the program. Who knows? I mean, that's the thing that happens right now. I mean, there's a lot going on within all the programs right now. But I do want to say before I get going, I'd like to just give a congratulations to former NC State player Bill Cowher on being selected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know, he's a legendary NFL coach. He was a legendary player at NC State. And for anybody that didn't get a chance to see his notification on being selected, go look it up online, or you can find it on a link to it on Twitter, where he was told on air while doing the pregame broadcast for a playoff game. Just the raw emotion you see from that, it was special. And I know those guys that play the sport, coach the sport, know how impactful being selected to that fraternity can be. And that's just a tremendous honor for Bill Cowher. So I just wanted to mention that today. I mean, he's an NC State great, former linebacker, was one of the best Wolfpack linebackers in program history. And so that was just a really, really cool honor. So we'll have more next week on the Tripartisan NC State podcast. We'll also have my column up this week. I talked about it earlier on NC State basketball, CJ Bryce, his impact, the Wolfpack's bench. You can find that at WRLSportsFan.com, or I'll have a link also on our website, on my website, InsidePackSports.com. So for this edition of the Tripartisan NC State podcast, my name is James Henderson. Make sure you join me again next time.
You've been listening to the NC State Tripartisan Podcast with host from InsidePackSports.com, James Henderson. Don't forget there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app, and you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. Thanks again for listening to the NC State Tripartisan Podcast.